Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
Words to lepers from the Old Testament. If the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? From the Gospel. Go on your way. Your faith is making you whole. One of my first lepers was a banker named Bob Stansel. He was Gadsden, Alabama born and bred. And he loved the Crimson Tide, and he loved the church. After a while, I noticed he had a place on his nose. And I thought, uh-oh, for there was a plague in the 80s. Slowly moving across the land, and skin lesions were part of it. He lost weight. He got weak. He'd say, my little legs look like toothpicks, don't they? And they did. He grew even weaker, not powerful at all. Moving slow, slow, slow on bad feet. The neuropathy got to him. And he began to be very strange looking. Gaunt faced. And with the scarlet lesion on his nose. He was not beautiful at all in those years. But when you saw him chatting with the three-year-olds in his Sunday school class, they didn't seem to know he was ugly. And when at the altar rail serving wine, he shuffled past me, he didn't have what you call a strong, powerful presence. Just a profiling courage. And honestly, a face of gratitude. The three-year-olds loved him. Their parents had met with the priests and quietly talked and decided, we want him to stay with our children. We are scared of AIDS. But those parents were profiles encouraged too. For they said, we love Bob and he blesses our children. I think as he got worse and worse looking, he got more and more grateful, and dare I say, beautiful. And he became more and more blessed. That's for sure. In the readings for today, we have 11 more lepers. One was a big shot, a general from a powerful kingdom. We would call that kingdom Syria today. And the general was extremely upset. The stuff had probably showed up on his face. And even being a general wasn't going to stop the shame of that. Because to have it show your weakness, your dis-ease, glaring out there to the world, even generals quake at that. The other 10 lepers are just a group of nobodies from nowhere banded together in common misery. So we have 11 more lepers in the book today out of how many miserable people in the world? Generation after generation after generation after generation. after generation, across time and space, how many miserable people? So many cries for help. So many sorrow songs and pleas and laments. So much pain, so much shame. You have heard the term compassion fatigue. We know about that. And I think it's gotten worse now that we see and hear of misery so fast and from so far away and in such bright and bloody images. Misery scares us. I think we are afraid it is contagious. And without a blessing, this is true. I know this is true. Without a blessing, misery is contagious. Eleanor, our 6-year-old granddaughter, says her prayers every night. God bless Mama and Daddy and Tom and Granddaddy and Graham, that's me, and Poppy and Nana, her other grandmother, who now Eleanor sees only with the eyes of her heart. And then God bless her little friends and her teacher, and you know the drill. But one night last week, her parents said there was an addition. Eleanor said, God bless God. She said, nobody ever prays for God. Yes, her mama said, God bless God. For the God we know in Christ, oh my, has hands full. The whole world in his hands with all the miseries and pain and self-inflicted wounds. If it is true what we say that God is love, then oh yes, please, let us bless God's heart. If miseries are contagious, and I believe they are even for God, think about what God caught when the Word became flesh and lived among us. Trouble, enemies, sorrow, betrayal, death. But was that the last word? Back to the 11 lepers in the book today. We would recognize them. The big shot in the Old Testament balked when he wasn't given VIP treatment. When the holy man wouldn't even see him, just sent his PA out. I've been there. With a message saying, bathe yourself in the river and you'll be healed. Well, to the big shot, that didn't sound important enough, powerful enough, classy enough to heal his very important misery. Why? To lower himself into this muddy little Jordan River. But he was talked into it, and he did it. He bathed. The earliest Old Testament translation, the Septuagint, says he was baptized, Old Testament, in the River Jordan, and healed. And he knew God past his big shotness. He knew God for the first time, and he was blessed and grateful. From his misery came blessing. Now, as to those other 10 lepers, all did what they were told. All were cured. And then they walked back toward their lives. But nine missed the encounter. Nine missed the blessing. They had the experience but missed the meaning. For what good is cure without gratitude? What good is life without knowing you are blessed and passing it on? Only the grateful one who ran back and passed the blessing back to Jesus really got the blessing. Got it. It's not that God withholds until we write our thank you notes. It's just that the blessing, the wholeness, is habits of the heart. The grateful passing of the blessing is a habit of the heart. Thank you, Allison, for teaching that. So Jesus tells the grateful man and us, be on your way, blessed, blessing, which is the way, the truth, and the life. God bless God. Way before Eleanor, I learned that children are our most astute theologians. Listen to the children around here. Remember those three-year-olds with Bob. Even from the day they opened their eyes, babies are looking for the blessing. And when they start to smile, Ezra Thompson smiled this week for the first time. Oh my, then did the blessing start swirling back and forth. Truly blessing God's heart. Children are our deepest theologians, so they deserve us being theologians too. Remember, it's not that the cured people who didn't turn back to bless Jesus were bad people. They are just us. Most of the time. It's not that we will have horrible lives if we aren't grateful and don't pass on our blessings, our time, our gifts, our money. I, by the way, have forgotten to make a pledge. Seriously. And yet here I am. So grateful. I don't know if I say it. I'm so grateful to Michael and the vestry agreeing to let me be here retired and part-time. Yet I forgot to pass around the blessing. I will. Don't worry. It's not that we're horrible people if we don't pass around the blessings. It's just that passing blessings around is why we are created, and the only way we become not just cured, which is always temporary, for we all have to go through enough to kill us. So cure is always temporary, but passing around blessings, oh my, in that we become eternal. By the way, Bob had to retire from Sunday school teaching. He got blind as a bat, but he became the Wednesday afternoon receptionist for the church. He'd wobble on into the office, eventually with a nurse, Pretty Maureen, and he'd be trailing tubes and IVs. And he would answer the phone, sort of. He'd sit at the switchboard, always pleased as punch for the phone to ring and to hear from everybody, and then he'd send the calls on. And of course, he really couldn't see much whose extension was whose. So we would all make new phone friends on Wednesday afternoons. And in general, on Wednesday afternoons, everybody would catch up with the whole state of Christ Church. And there was Bob in the middle, connecting who he and God decided needed connecting. And it worked out fine. It worked out Wednesday afternoons with Bob and God on the switchboard were some of our most blessed hours. He never got cured. He just got whole. Blessed and blessing into eternity. So today, I'll tell you, I'm grateful for you. Bless you. I'm grateful for this staff I serve with and for Michael. Bless you. I'm grateful for our children. Bless them. I'm grateful for Bob Stansel. Bless him. I'm grateful for God. Bless God. Like Eleanor prays, God bless God. We have that blessing in us. Now, George Herbert said it another way, and here's the only poem I've ever been able to memorize, but I wrote it down anyway, and I'm going to line it out, and I want you to repeat it back with me. I'll say a line, and you say it. Thou hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart, not thankful when it pleaseth me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise.